The Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. So it's Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Well, it's a phrase I've heard already this week, and I'm sure I'll hear it again over the next few days, and it's this: Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without, and then, depending on who's speaking, you've got a variety of things. I think I've heard it twice this week. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without, we've got a picture here, without a tree. Didn't need the picture really, we've got a lovely tree here. Without a tree and without presents. So Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without those things. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without, who's that? Who doesn't know who that is? Lewis, surely you've been here long enough to know. Is she not well known in Portugal? She must be well known in Portugal as well. Queen of England, she's known everywhere, isn't she? Yeah, okay, thank you. So it's the Queen, and people say it wouldn't be Christmas without the Queen or the Queen's speech. That's things that people in my family sometimes say. You've got to be there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to sit down and listen to the Queen. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christmas dinner, or some people say without turkey. We have beef, but some people have to have turkey. And without all the trimmings, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without pigs in blankets and stuffing and Brussels sprouts and carrots and potatoes. They've got to have all the works. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christmas cards. Most people send Christmas cards, although maybe it's a dying thing. It was introduced by the post office to try and make some money. Didn't know that, did you? It was. And certainly in this country it was anyway. Maybe time to change it. I did have a picture actually of someone looking really miserable writing Christmas cards, but I thought maybe that was... Do people like writing Christmas cards, be honest? There's a lot of people shaking their heads actually, you know. Yeah. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a cracker. Pulling a Christmas cracker this time next week. Well, not this time, but next week at the afternoon this time, we'll be doing that, some people. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Quality Street. Traditional chocolates in the house. There's lots of other options these days, but when I was a kid, it was Quality Street. And Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Only Fools and Horses, or the equivalent TV show. Last year, I think it was Downton Abbey, but no Downton Abbey this year. But Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without TV. good TV show to watch. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a carol concert, or maybe a school carol concert, or a church carol concert to go to. I've heard that one before as well. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without, what would you put in there? What would you put in there? Who's that, sorry? Jesus. Yeah, the clue's in the word, isn't it? Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christ. It's very easy to forget what Christmas is all about. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christ. You can't really have Christmas without Christ. Someone has said if you take the Christ out of Christmas, all you're left with is M&S. which is an awful thought, isn't it? Terrible thought. If that's all we're left with. Christmas is about Christ and is about celebrating his birth. We've been doing that in the songs we've been singing already, about celebrating his coming. And in our Bible reading, we were thinking about Jesus, the baby being taken to the temple by his parents. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christ. So we celebrate his nativity, his coming into the world as a man. But even as we do that, even as we celebrate the nativity, and I try and do that in our house. I've got one of our Christmas decorations here, which I've probably shown you before. But this is one of my favorite Christmas decorations. So I don't forget. There you go. I've kind of put that in pride of place in our house, in our decorations. So I keep looking at that. So I don't forget what Christmas is about. But even still, as you look at that, it's very easy to forget what Christmas is all about. And I don't want to forget, and I don't want you to forget, and that's why in a few moments we're going to finish our time together by celebrating the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate the death of Jesus. Because Christmas can't be Christmas without the cross. Can't be Christmas without the death of the Lord Jesus. And I want to explain just for a few moments what I mean. Do you remember when the angels appeared to the shepherds and the angel said, the first angel that appeared said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. He's a Savior." And then Simeon in our reading, Luke chapter 2, verse 30, as he holds that baby in his arms, he praises God and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, your rescue." Christmas is about salvation. It's about rescue. Jesus was born to save us. Earlier, an angel had told Joseph, when the baby's born, make sure you call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He's come on a rescue mission. He's come to save us from our sins, from the misery of living for ourselves and not for God, to save us from the criminal attitude that won't let God rule us, to save us from the terrible consequences of that, the just anger of God, and an eternity separated from him in hell. He's come to save us from that. But how? Well, again, in our reading that Jenny's just read for us, shortly after Jesus' birth, Mary was given a very, very big clue by the prophet Simeon as to how the baby was going to save his people. So remember, he takes Jesus in his arms and he praises God for sending the Savior into the world. And then he speaks to Mary and he says that this child is going to be opposed by many. It's going to be opposed. It's going to cause the rising and the falling of many. He's going to be opposed, a word that people will speak against. And then he says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Can you see that? A sword will pierce your own soul too. He's referring to the day, 30 years later, when just a few hundred yards from where they're standing in the temple, not far from where they're standing, Mary's going to see soldiers nail her son to the cross. She's going to watch him hanging there for an horrific 6 hours. She's going to watch him, 3 of those hours, suffering in dreadful supernatural darkness. She's going to watch him cry out and breathe his last. And she's going to watch his dead body be pierced by a spear. There's a terrible moment of grief for Mary. But this, said Simeon, is the reason why the baby has come. This is what the child is destined for. He's destined to die. And as he says this, remember they're in the temple, and maybe they can hear the bleating of the sacrifices, the animals, the sheep, the lambs, the goats that are going to be used in the temple sacrifices. And think about Mary and Joseph's family and friends, their extended neighbors. They'll be saying things like, have you heard the news about Mary and Joseph? Mary's had a little boy. Simeon says something different here. He's saying, Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Because this child is a sacrifice. He's come to save the world by laying down his life as a sacrifice. Simeon, I'm very thankful to God for Simeon. Because Simeon will not let us forget the cross at Christmas. So right at the start of Jesus' life on earth, the Bible is telling us that he was born to die. He was born to give his life to save us. Born to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Born to take our sin onto himself. Born to be punished for it. Born to suffer the righteous anger of God for us. Born so that we can be forgiven. Born so that we can have peace with God. Born to die so that we who are spiritually dead might live. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Wonderful news. Delivered of Mary in Bethlehem to grow up in order to deliver us by his death on the cross in Jerusalem. And his rescue mission was a success. One thing we need to remember is Mary didn't just know the grief of watching her son die, did she? She also knew the joy of seeing him raised. What a moment for Mary. She knew the joy of that. And what a joy for us. His resurrection tells us that the sacrifice was accepted by God. And that means whoever turns from their sin and whoever trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross is forgiven and is not condemned by God, but is saved from his wrath and his judgment and welcomed into his family. And that is the wonder of Christmas. So Christmas is really, really important to see beyond the manger to the cross, which is what we're going to do in sharing bread and wine. So that's not just what I've got in my house. It's my favorite Christmas decoration, but if you came to our house, you would see that behind it is this. And that's just there to remind me so that I don't forget, that I don't ever, ever forget what it is I'm celebrating this Christmas time. The baby was born to grow up to be a man, to die on a cross and to rise again, so that I might know God and know him forever. And I'll just put that there so we can just see it for a few moments. The great rescue happened not in the manger in Bethlehem, but on the cross in Jerusalem. And if Jesus had stayed in the manger, which, let's face it, is where most people want to keep him, then we would have nothing to celebrate. We would have no news of great joy. We would still be dead in our sins. We would be hopeless and helpless. The crucified and the risen Lord Jesus is our only hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God. The baby of Christmas is nice, but he was meant for the cross. He was born to die, and you'll only truly understand him in the light of that fact. When you find the cross in Christmas, you find the joy of Christmas. You find the reason for the baby. You find the reason for life, to know God and enjoy him forever. You find joy. And the people who really celebrate Christmas, are the people who know that Jesus was born to die. The people who really celebrate Christmas are the ones who know that Jesus died for them, who trust his death and who know that they've been forgiven by God, who know that they are friends with God, who know that they will not be condemned because Jesus took the punishment for them. Those are the people who really celebrate at Christmas. Is that you? Well, as we continue together for a few moments, let's celebrate the reason the baby came. Let's celebrate his death on the cross. And let's trust, each and every one of us, let's trust in his death on the cross for us so that we might know the real joy of Christmas. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We do thank you, our gracious Father God, for these gifts of bread and wine that remind us of the gift of all gifts, your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, begotten, not created, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Substitute. Thank you that he was born to die to save us. Thank you that he accomplished his mission. Thank you for his one perfect sacrifice for sin, so perfect that it never needs to be repeated ever again. Thank you for the awesome display of love that we see at the cross, you loving the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, you not sparing your Son, but giving him up for us all. Jesus loving us and giving himself up for us. Thank you for your great love. Thank you that he took the punishment we deserve so that we can have a gift that we don't deserve, forgiveness of our sins and life with you. We do pray, Father, that as we eat the bread and drink the wine, you would help us to rejoice in this salvation. You would help us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And please strengthen our faith in him as we share this meal. And please increase our love for him and grow us to be more like him. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Amen.